Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty podcast. This is Snap Reactions for the tight end position for week number 12. So I'm going to do a full run through here, go all basically through all of your tight end stuff. We're going to sort of reset the clock as we head back towards the playoffs, set some expectations and the like. And then we'll have some more specific individual stuff as we go along, you know, some young players, old players, you know, those sorts of things. But I do think now is the time to reset full Snap Reactions. And then in future weeks, we might do some thematic stuff. But here we go. Arizona. No Zach Ertz. And it looks like, my understanding of it is it shouldn't be a situation that holds on to next year or anything like that. If he wants to come back and play, it looks like he will play. Again, he is approaching his mid-30s at this point. He will be Zach Ertz's birthday is in November. So he will be 33 next November. He's already had it November 10th. So he'll be 33 next year. The rule on tight ends is pretty simple. If you've played at a really high level in your career, you tend to age very gracefully until you don't have a job. Right? That's kind of how the aging process goes. Now, you know, how long you have a job is certainly a critical factor in how you age. But what we've seen is guys that have, you know, the Wittens of the world and the Gonzaleses of the world, like these guys, when they have had a job, they've continued to produce, even though it's maybe been a decline. You've seen some erosion of some of their, you know, per route production, for example, but by and large, they're still very productive. We saw that with Jimmy Graham, for example, as well. So Ertz is a tier down from that, but I think the same thing holds with him. So he'll be 33. Again, he started to slide a bit. A lot of what he did was volume based. Right, so we'll see there how it goes. But again, next year, he's got a cap number of $12.8 million. $10 million of that's dead cap. They could save $2.85 million by cutting him. Kind of feels like a situation where he's back. You know, he's got a $4 million guaranteed. That's guaranteed. That's already guaranteed of that $3 million bonus guaranteed early in the off season. So yeah, I mean, I think he's probably back with this team would be my assumption. And you know, we haven't seen Trey McBride do much. He's rocking a 0.3 yards per route run right now. And if you're thinking of how does that fit on the scale of the tight end yards per route run study, pretty low. Pretty low. So not a good sign for him. 24 routes this past week out of 34 dropbacks, one catch for 1 yard on 3 targets. So that's a real struggle to start his career. And we'll see sort of going forward. But he really needs a good end of the season for us to feel good about him going into the future. All right, Atlanta. Obviously, Pitts is out. So we will be without him. Not a ton here to really draw from this. Parker Hesse leads them in snaps, 10 routes. Anthony Firkser, a name from way back, 13 routes. Basically ran a route on 50% of their dropbacks this past week and drew a target. I guess desperation type situation, maybe in like a 2 PPR or a 2 tight end type situation, a start 2 tight end situation. But otherwise, we're probably not going to be having Firkser near a ton of lineups would be the thought. 1 for 16 is what he did yesterday. And otherwise, this is probably an avoid situation, not a ton there to glean from. Baltimore, I found this fascinating. When you looked at the 2 PPR scoring, which is a lot of like our safe league scoring, for example, where we play a lot of our leagues. And I just use that because it sort of can demonstrate tight ends. Andrews is like by far the tight end too. 21.1 expected points per game. Again, that's a huge, huge expectation. He's performing 19.5 points per game. Like that's terrific. That is a terrific, terrific number. Kelsey, 27.7 expected points per game. That's quarterback one type numbers. Like that is just outrageous. 29 points per game total. That is quarterback one overall type numbers in that scoring system. So Kelce just by leaps and bounds is far, far, far surpassing anything else in this tight end, in this tight end landscape. But Andrews going to be overshadowed by that a bit, but still really darn good. So that's the thing that I would say about Andrews. If anything, if this feels like a disappointment, it's because Kelce is so much better than anybody else this year. Not really that Andrews is that much of a disappointment. So I think that's an interesting sort of conundrum there with him. Maybe it actually opens up some buy opportunities in a way that, you know, if he finishes tight end one with the same numbers and, you know, Kelce retired last offseason, it would feel a little bit harder to acquire Andrews. I think the fact that he's actually performing that, it's almost feels under the radar. So really good opportunity for Andrews in this offense without a wide receiver one, and he's truly taking advantage of it. And again, he would be my tight end one in Dynasty if I were to engage in such rankings. All right, for Buffalo, Dawson Knox been a disappointment. Like, he comes in and out a little bit here. And kind of the end of the season, Dawson Knox, like, ooh, man, is he turning the corner? Like, that's kind of always feels like a yearly conversation there with him. 40 routes in this game on Thanksgiving, 54 dropbacks, so good percentage, but 2 catches, 17 yards on 2 targets. Not going to cut it there. So I actually added him as a throw-in and a deal, which felt kind of good, but I would be skeptical of anything. He's in the range of tight ends you don't pay for, right? Like, you don't pay for the difference in that sort of range where he is in sort of that back half of tight end one into tight end two range isn't really a space where you pay, and he's a good example of that. All right, Carolina, not much to see here. We can just move on. I find Cole Kmet's production to be fascinating. He's tight end 8 over at Keep Trade Cut. That's crazy when you consider, again, what do we say, right? I sort of sound like I'm beating a dead horse on this, but you don't pay for tight end production in that range, right? That's a place where you frankly don't go in terms of investing in players. You're much better off to take a several round discount and take a couple of guys, right? You take the Hayden Hurst of the world, you take, I don't know, hell, the Tyler Conklins of the world. Like, you take those guys because you're just trying to aggregate, because a guy like Cole Kmet really is going to struggle to beat you. Again, he's over expectation in terms of touchdowns, which is interesting because he was under it last year. He's got 5 touchdowns this year, and I think he had 1 or none last year, and underperformed. He went 60 and 600 and underperformed in terms of touchdowns. This year he's overperforming in terms of touchdowns relative to what you would expect, but tight end 8 in Dynasty is over a Keep Trade Cut is that's wild for him, and I would be super skeptical of anything in that range. In fact, he's ahead of Joku, which I think is like laughable on its face. He's ahead of Dulcich, which I think is laughable. Him and Waller is a debate about what you value. Do you value some floor at a position where it's frankly pretty replaceable, or do you value some ceiling? Right, I think that's an interesting debate there. And then there's even guys deeper down like Fants and in the world that feels like I'd much rather take a cheaper bet 2 shots later on than take a shot on Kmet. And frankly, I'd rather take a shot on Dulcich. I'd rather take a shot on Joku. And they're both a couple of tiers behind Kmet in terms of Keep Trade Cut. So he's a clear avoid at his cost and is a pivot player, but either up or down going into the offseason. The aforementioned Hayden Hurst for Cincinnati, really aggregating his way, 6 for 57. That's a really robust number in a 2 PPR setting, so really good there. 32 routes in this past game. He's ran the 4th most routes to tight end position, very much in the Logan Thomas vein, right? 1.1 yards per route run. Again, that's very Logan Thomas-y, right? And we sort of think about the, are you high volume? Are you high efficiency? Right? You could sort of get away with either one to be a fantasy starter. You combine them both, you can be elite, right? That's what it takes to be elite, is high efficiency and high volume. Combine them. That's really like kind of how the Mark Andrews sphere came together. Hayden Hurst very much representing the the Logan Thomas sort of aggregating our way there type of role. And again, that's a spot where I wouldn't really love to pay for it if I was at the tight end position. But again, he's a good representation of why you don't, because tight end 25 still, right? Could be had for pittance in the offseason. So really like him. Again, what do? You take depressed value pedigree guys, right? That's a great, if you're looking for places to search for value in dynasty, depressed assets that have high pedigree at tight end, right? They tend to come back around, and he's a good example of that. So good for him this year, and a really good opportunity. Cleveland, we talked about Joku already. Feels really undervalued. 1.89 yards per route run is career best. 84.8 PFF grade for his receiving grade. That's the best of his career. He's been really good. I think tight end 11 at keep trade cut's pretty laughable. I don't know if he's got tight end 1 overall in his range of outcomes, but he's the type that could get into the 2 or 3 type conversation, I think. You know, and especially in this offense where he could be a legit second option, right? I think he could be a legit, it's Amari Cooper and it's him. That seems very possible. And right, he's 1.89 yards per route run, locked into a contract with Jacoby Brissett as his quarterback. Again, that's no knock on Jacoby Brissett, but you're going from Jacoby Brissett, who's been, you know, in the, I don't know, at any given points, maybe the, you know, somewhere between the 20 and the 35th best quarterback walking the face of the earth, to Deshaun Watson, who's the active leader in career yards per attempt, right? Like, big difference in terms of quality of quarterback play. So we'll see how that transitions, but he could be in for a big time difference making role down the stretch here. I gave Waller for him this past week, right before the trade deadline. I'd do it again, and I think that it was I bought Waller sort of what I thought was low, and then he goes to IR, and then I basically kind of pivoted him off as part of a bigger deal that I got him in. But getting Joku gives me the option, which feels pretty darn good. All right, next up, you've got the Dallas Cowboys. Dalton Schultz on a one-year franchise tag. Jake Ferguson showed up a little bit, and again, it's an island game on Thanksgiving, so you're a bit like, okay, what? Well, that seems like, you know, if a tree falls directly in your front yard, it feels really loud, even if it's not that big of a tree relative, right? Whereas if a tree falls in a forest that's several miles away, you don't hear it, or it would take a much bigger tree for it to have any sort of impact on your day-to-day. Feels a lot like what happened with Jake Ferguson, right? If it falls in the middle of the 1 o'clock hour for Jake Ferguson, you're like, oh, look, he popped off for 3 for 57. Happens in an island game on Thanksgiving, and you're like, which I think may have been the most watched football game on the regular season in recent times. It was some crazy stat about that. It feels very, very different. Let's take a deep breath, take a step back, and look at the overall metrics. So 3 for 57, good. He ran 5 routes, was targeted 3 times. So not a ton of volume there, right? And was basically blocking 31 of his 36 snaps. So I'd be cautious on Jake Ferguson's going to replace Dalton Schultz version of this. Now, do they let Dalton Schultz walk in free agency? Sure, that'd be that. You know, that's a decision that will face them. And probably, I'd rather invest at the wide receiver position. We've talked about this. Tight end's much more replaceable. So we'll see what they do. Maybe Jake Ferguson steps in that role. Like, I think he's an interesting stash. I wouldn't get over my skis and be like, oh, look at what the next, like, this feels much more fluky than it feels like the preview of what would happen if Dalton Schultz was out. So that would sort of be it's an interesting monitor. He's a stash in 25 man leagues, where he's a, you know, where he is a free agent in some of the spots that I looked on my teams this week. All right, Denver, Dulcich, we've got 32 for 40 in terms of his route participation in this game. Listen, it's 2 for 11 and no touchdowns in this game, so you feel a little bit disappointed. I would say, like, as a general matter, I think he's been off to a pretty good start in his career. And like I find him in the spot that I'm in. It's not a typical spot where, you know, in that sort of back half tight end one range, it's not a typical spot where we want to really spend a ton. I find him to be one of the guys in there that I'm actually interested in spending on. So he's going to be a guy, I think, you know, if and the stink's going to stick to him from the Russell Wilson stuff too. I'm interested in buying because I think that's going to depress his value for certain. All right, Detroit. And again, we're in the post Hockenson phase. We'll have to see what they do in the off season. Again, I think tight end, like you talk about Dalton Schultz, you talk about guys like Gesicki, right? Like there are guys that have been pretty good at their positions that are hitting free agency. That's probably a lesson to learn for teams in terms of where they draft them going forward. But Brock Wright, 14 routes. It's a 29 drop back game for them. So not a ton of volumes. Shane Zylstra, 15 routes on 17 snaps, and he is not targeted. So talk about your passing game usage, you know, your passing game specialist, basically. That's exactly what the profile is, right? 17 snaps, he's running routes on 15 of them. That's just pure passing game usage. Not drawing any targets. So that's a tough space to continue to make a living if you're a tight end. So a little skeptical there that they found anyone. James Mitchell hasn't really shown much. Again, didn't get a full off season coming off the knee injury coming out of college. So maybe we'll see a little bit more of him. A little bit of a slow start, more of a simmer than any sort of breakout here. But it would be nice to see him last month or so get some better opportunity going forward. But I'm skeptical the tight end of the future is on this team going forward. All right, Green Bay, Robert Tonyan's basically doing Robert Tonyan things. 19 routes, 28 dropbacks, 3 for 20. That's kind of what you expect. Basically two-thirds of routes, and we'll see what happens with him if Aaron Rodgers is going to miss some time, we'll have to see. But a little skeptical on him. He feels very much in the tight end two range where he's basically lived all season. For Houston, this is a really good game for Jordan Akins. 26 routes in this game. He played 31 snaps, which was just behind Teagan Quinturiano. Akins runs 5 routes, goes 5. I'm sorry, he runs 26 routes, 5 targets, 5 for 61 and a touchdown. So leads them in receiving yards and scores their lone receiving touchdown. So good performance there for him. Again, he's a little fluky. This is like 60% route participation, so not really great there. Quinturino, for his part, 2 for 20. O.J. Howard ran 4 routes. So the early season, oh, look, you were wrong on O.J. Howard. Coming to find out, wasn't true. It wasn't the scheme. It wasn't the scheme. Indianapolis plays on Monday night, so we'll move on from that. Next up, we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars, 35 routes, 42 dropbacks for Evan Engram. Only one target because Zay Jones was being targeted like a monster. 14 targets for Zay Jones on 36 total targeted passes on 42 dropbacks. So excellent market share there for him. He's been one that has been sort of under the radar throughout the season, so that's good for him. Again, this is the tight end show, but it's worth noting that sort of in that sphere that Engram didn't have a great game, only one target. I think there's probably better days to come, but it's been kind of in that tight end two range. Again, you take depressed value shots on a guy like Engram in that range, and that's kind of what you're hoping for. He feels like it's a streaming option in the tight end two landscape. He is tight end 14 in expected points per game with 9.2, and he scored 7.7 points per game, so lagging behind his expectation a little bit there. Kansas City, again, I talked about Kelce earlier. Noah Gray, 20 routes on 46 dropbacks. That's interesting. Fortson, 14 routes on 46 dropbacks. Kelsey actually only ran 34 routes on 46 dropbacks. He's just insane. You know, I think Noah Gray would be interesting. Like, he's an interesting guy, but like, you know, just to keep an eye on as we go forward. I don't think he's going to replace Kelsey or anything, but you see him get some involvement on a weekly basis. So that's pretty good there. For the Chargers, Gerald Everett back. Only participated on 30 of 52 routes, about 60% there. Was limited a bit in his usage. He had four catches for 18 yards. When you look, the next tight end behind him was Trey McKitty. 26 snaps for him out of 66, 10 routes out of 52 dropbacks again. So that's like 20% there overall. So, yeah, so we'll see. And he wasn't targeted. So he's really kind of struggled and feels like he was overdrafted when he was. He was like the dirt cheap pedigree buy, and he's basically missed at this point. The Rams, Tyler Higbee should turn in his number and become an offensive tackle, because that's essentially what he was in this game. He was in on 32 snaps out of 54 total snaps. He ran 10 routes on 29 dropbacks and basically blocked a ton of the time. So not great. We don't love to see that. Brandon Powell played almost as many snaps as he did. Yeah, that's just really tough. Brandon Powell, the undersized wide receiver as well. Lance McCutcheon, Tutu Atwell, Ben Skowronek. Like, these guys were playing as big, if not a bigger role than Higbee in terms of actual routes in snaps, certainly targets as well. So we'll have to see what this phase of the Rams offense is. I don't trust Higbee at all right now, to be totally honest with you, in terms of what he's going to offer on a weekly basis. So super skeptical there. He's basically an offensive lineman. I have a really hard time sort of buying in on him to start going down the stretch. Maybe this thing gets rectified and he starts playing more. Like, he's the most talented pass catcher that they have right now, which is, of course, curious why he's not running routes. So we'll see on that, if that's maybe a fluky thing that happened this week, or schematic or whatever. But that's something we're certainly going to watch going forward. In fact, Bryson Hopkins actually ran more routes, 13 to Higbee's 10 this week, had two targets, one for 12. So a little something to monitor there as we go forward. Vegas, I think Foster Moreau is like perfectly replaceable. Like, it's 3 for 31 and a touchdown, but he runs 37 routes, basically targeted 7 times. It's actually pretty good, but he goes 3 for 33. You know, we'll see with Waller coming back. Waller's still under contract and committed. Moreau's actually can hit free agency. We'll see sort of what he has to offer. Maybe he gets like a poor man's Gerald Everett type of deal, like a prove it deal, something for a bigger role at some other team. But I struggle to see him be a big time difference maker, given he hasn't really done it with some opportunity in his career. Mike Gesicki was blanked for Miami. It's pretty brutal this past week. He only had one target. He was in on 41 snaps, and he ran 30 routes on 48 dropbacks. So that's pretty crummy there for him. And again, he's a name that I'm interested in adding if I'm not contending, right? If I'm not playing this year, I think there's a better chance for him going forward in an offense that maybe fits him a little bit better than this one. But it's pretty clear that they haven't valued what he does. Trent Sherfield running more routes than him. That kind of tells you a lot. Durham Smythe is the other tight end. Did a lot of blocking. Only 10 routes for him, but he had the lone reception for the tight ends in this game, 4 yards and a touchdown. So Gesicki, man, he's a really tough play at this point. I'm holding. I still think he's a fine player. I just think that this is a really, really bad fit for him. TJ Hockenson, 6 more targets, 29 routes. The route participation is a little low. There's a tad bit of concern. PFF wrote up something that he's not being used in some certain situations that is a little weird. So, you know, that Johnny Muntz basically being used in some 11 personnel. I don't know how much I really care too much. It's about 75% route participation, 6 targets. You'd love to see him have a little bit more of that. Yeah, that's kind of why I question the overall ceiling, but 5 for 43 and a touchdown. again, he's integrated right into this offense and been pretty productive, at least from a fantasy perspective so far. Again, that's like 20 points in a two PPR setting. So really good there for him, and a good role in the offense. Hunter Henry has a pretty good game, 3 for 63 and a touchdown, 5 targets, should have had another touchdown. Just trending better. Again, 32 routes on 42 dropbacks. Jonnu Smith only 9 routes on 42 dropbacks. So this is feeling much more like a last year offense where it felt a little bit more split earlier on in the season. Jonnu Smith getting phased out a bit looks a lot more like what it looked like last year. So I'm optimistic that Hunter Henry can offer us something here down the stretch. For the Saints, and by the way, Jonnu Smith should be a cut in the offseason for what that's worth as well. Henry might be up for like a restructure or something like that. He's still a little expensive for what he's done. The Saints, Juwan Johnson, 19 routes leads them, but Troutman up to 14. That's interesting. Taysom Hill actually ran 15. It's high for him. He's not usually a big route runner. 6 carries for Taysom Hill in this game. But yeah, it's a, this offense was pretty, struggled, pretty heavily, but it was really more like the 2 fumbles by Kamara and more some of the fluky stuff. Like when you actually look at Dalton, Andy Dalton, like 7 yards in attempt, didn't take any sacks, like probably should have gotten more than 0 points out of this game. So we'll see here with this tight end spot going forward. Juwan Johnson's like a streamer because he gets a lot of volume, but if Troutman's going to eat into him a little bit, you don't love that so much going forward. But he hasn't really done that. This feels like more of an outlier game than anything that's been going on all season. The Giants, nothing really usable without Daniel Bellinger. Daniel Bellinger's still out, hasn't been put on IR, which of course is curious considering he's been out, I believe it's been 4 weeks now. Hope he's all right with that eye injury that was pretty nasty looking when he got it injured. The Jets, and it's the Mike White experience. Tyler Conklin, 22 routes on 30 dropbacks, 3 targets in this game. He goes 3 for 50. That's pretty good. CJ Uzama, 17 routes, 3 targets. He goes 3 for 17. So, again, getting a little bit better production in the passing game. It was hard to get worse. It wasn't that difficult to get better than what they were doing. So some optimism there for the Jets. For the offense in general, Conklin, again, feels like in that tight end 2 range. I trust him more than Uzama at this point. The Eagles, I think the big takeaway is they're brutal without Goddard, and we're hoping for him back pretty soon. Pittsburgh is without Pittsburgh is on Monday night, so we don't have the data for Freiermuth. I really like him, would be something I would say. This is one of those down Kittle games, right? Kittle sometimes will have these games where he's like, all right, like, he's dominant on Monday Night Football. They come back. Again, it was one of those things where I should have been really strong on unders, like coming short week off of that altitude. Yeah, just it was one of it felt like one of those situations where I think they tend to play to their team strengths or to their opponent too in a way that they tend to really play to the quality of their opponent, and they tend to play down, it feels like, at times. So, yeah. Well, I mean, with Kittle, there's these games where he's just it's going to be on or off, right? And in this game, it was an IU game. Heck, it was a Juwan Jennings game. He still has the ability to wreck stuff. And, again, you escape sort of 3 for 26. You know, you hope for better. This felt like just a disappointing performance for them across the board. It's not something I'm super worried about. He's basically in the tier after Kelce and Andrews at this point in terms of guys I trust producing going forward. All right, Seattle, again, it's a split between Fant and Disley. PFF likes them both for what matters there in terms of their grades. So, you know, Fant, I do think, is a buy low in sort of that 20s range. That 20s range is going to be pretty lucrative with guys like Fant, with guys like Gesicki as well. Sort of in that range is going to be a spot where I think we're going to be double dipping quite a bit. Last year was like Zach Ertz in that range. This year I think it could be a little bit younger. Could be interesting to add some depth in some tight end premium leagues there. Parkinson being phased down a little bit. They were basically splitting snaps up earlier on the last few weeks, like before the bye. That fizzled a little bit this week. So maybe some more opportunity for Fant and Disley going forward. Cameron Brate for Tampa Bay played in front of Otten. Brait 4 targets. Otten had 0. Brait 2 for 15. Otten played on 36 snaps, actually led them. Brait played on 35, but Brait was a passing game usage. That fit with a little bit more of what Otten's scouting report was coming in. So not super compelling there in terms of starting Brait or anything like that. A bit disappointed. I was hoping we get a little bit more opportunity for Otten in this game, in this back half of the season, to establish himself. It's going to fizzle out a little bit. I thought he was going to be one of those off-season metric buys, given where he was at in terms of his like per route production. Probably not going to be that case as we are heading into the season, and he's kind of fizzling a bit. For Tennessee, Austin Hooper, the route participation, 27 out of 37 is good. He only goes 3 for 30, which is a bit disappointing. So, again, he's trending up a little bit and kind of winning out over Jeff Swaim, but not doing a ton production-wise. He's basically their fifth most receiving stuff there this week. Shig Okongwu continues to get some production here. 13 routes, 35 yards, 3 catches on 5 targets, again, on a limited route set. So some optimism there. He's a name that in some shallower leagues, if he's available, I might be adding him to the back end of your, you know, if you're cutting kickers and defenses here over the course of, you know, falling out of contention or something like that, or, you know, if you've got a roster spot, something like that, to stash into the offseason, he's a guy that interests me for sure. All right, last but not least, we have Washington, and they had 19 to 23 routes for Thomas. That's actually trending up. That's actually encouraging. However, 2 targets in this game, only 1 for 7. So a little bit of a disappointment there. John Bates, 3 receptions, 24 yards, and a touchdown. He had 4 targets on 12 routes, so it's a good percentage there. Feels like kind of an avoid situation. Again, Logan Thomas is like in that dart throw tight end 2 type range, and you're just kind of hoping to aggregate some value, but not something I'm super trusting at any point, week to week. So, all right, well, that'll do it for the tight end edition of Snap Reactions for this week. I will have out running back, wide receiver, quarterback as well. We do have some additional listeners, so I'll just sort of recap what we do. I should probably drop this at the beginning of the show too. I'll do that on the next one. But we have we have the 4 shows. We have my initial reaction show, which comes out. I record it like right before I go to bed at some very late hour on Monday morning, Sunday night into Monday morning, and then we have a waiver show that comes out Tuesday. In the afternoon is when I shoot to get that out. And then we have our trade show comes out on Thursday, and then we have the weekly preview on Friday. We'll continue doing that until basically week 17, and that'll take us into the off season. So it's more than halfway done, and excited for the stretch run here and to continue trying to get some buys and get some championships to put on the trophy shelf. So that'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We're going to talk again real soon.